think timing is everything. Like, nigga, this it. This one right here. That ain't easy. Stay motivated. Stay inspired. I owe it to myself. Stay down on it. And it ain't been hard throughout the journey. It's been a journey.
Hello, my niggas. Please keep it mellow, my niggas. Stop sipping yellow, my nigga. You itching and twitching and glitching, my nigga. Listen, my nigga. Snakes in your circle and them bitches hissing, my nigga. My nigga don't listen. One thing I hate about my nigga, so I just pray about my nigga. Nigga is hard. Niggas then gave up on God. Maybe God gave up on us. Maybe she angry, we worshiping all these false idols, so devils just praying on us. This for the junkie, the fiend, and the loser. Praying to God in the back of a cruiser. I pray that prison can cure your addiction and devil's affliction don't hurt you no more. Needing no reason, but I'll let you know. I was so young when I stood at that store. That I did not know that the money you paid me was meant for your babies, and now they just cold. It was just been in my nigga. I am not vicious, my nigga. I had no vision, my nigga. I wanted Gucci and Fendi, my nigga. Gucci and Fendi, my nigga. But none of them crackers ain't lovers, my nigga. All of them crackers that fuckers, my nigga. Mad cause they women in love with the guard. They fuckers and suckers and lovers, my nigga. Back to the trap, back to the dickens and bucks. Looking like I drive a truck. Fucking my bitch, shit. Better be rich. She buy a new bag of weed. Goddamn it, I don't understand it. But if she's an addict, this Gucci purse gon' get a geek. Dick with her ass. She is the baddest of bad. Pretty as Coretta Scott. All that I got. She got the face of a model. She got the heart of a solder. She from the gutter, my nigga. Wife and a mother, my nigga. Winnie Mandela, my nigga. Freeman Appel to my nigga Obama. Please free our mama, my nigga. Asada, my nigga. Please free Mzulu, my nigga. Heart of a Zulu, my nigga. Free Larry Hoover, my nigga. Free Jeff Fort, my nigga. Fuck all the courts, my nigga. Moving like Malcolm and Martin the King. Lift every voice, it's the soul that I sing. Born in the womb of a beautiful teen. I am a beautiful, wonderful thing. I am a king, my woman.
We could let that go on for a while, but we're going to go ahead and stop it right there. Yo, welcome back to the Who Got Next podcast, man. This is your host, E-Dub, man. Thank you again for tuning in to this lovely podcast, man, and I appreciate you listening for all this time, man. We are back with a brand new episode. You know, like I always do, this is about the music, man. You know how I come with about the music. So we are definitely going to have a conversation about the music. You know, Grammys passed. Mm-hmm. You know, Grammys passed, man, and all the talk was about Killer Mike winning rap album of the year. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna talk about that, man. I got my homie Lou in here. You know, anytime I talk about music, I'm gonna bring this brother on because we have some great conversations, and this is gonna be no different, man. But you know, just wanted to give you a little hint of Killer Mike, and just for future reference, I kind of said this on IG one time, man, because you know what was the conversation? Who the fuck is Killer Mike, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, sometimes when it comes to Grammys and Oscars and just music, there will be a disconnect, man. So when somebody wins, and that's what we're going to kind of talk about. When somebody wins, either you're not surprised or you're totally surprised, or it's like, okay, the conversation around it is, why did this person get it?
Right, right.
Killer Mike, deserving. Super deserving.
Yeah.
I think Lou will agree with me.
Absolutely.
That I think we kind of said it when it dropped. You know, I'm the type of person, man, I can't just say it as soon as I listen that
right.
It's a classic.
Right.
That's just
it's
me.
Classic. Right.
But what I did do is I played it enough. I mean, I played it a lot throughout the year. And I came to the conclusion, I said, man, I don't think anything is fucking with this.
Not this past year.
Not this past year. And of course, when it's... This came out around the summertime, I think. I got it right.
I
got it right in front of my face, man. But this album came out,
yeah,
June 16th, a week after my birthday. So it came out June 16th. So we had six
it
months.
It seems like it's so much longer. It seems like it's longer than that, though. Because he came here to perform very shortly after that.
July.
Yeah, it was very short.
It was like July, August. He came. He came. So he was getting fresh. He was fresh in the tour and things like that. Fortunately, Lou and I both went to that.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a show.
Yeah.
Hell of a show. But anyway, I'm rambling. We're gonna get right to it. The thesis of this conversation is: number one, we kind of alluded to it, that it is deserving. Mm-hmm. But again, this is Killer Mike's second Grammy, but this is his first Grammy for his own work. The first Grammy he got was with Outkast for the song The Whole World. Came out 2001 or 2002. And I remember because I was in college when that song came out, and that was actually one of our greetings in a probate. Dope-ass greeting, too, man. I still remember to this day, word for word, how we switched it up, man. But it was when I was in college, when I was in college. So Killer Mike has been around that long. So who the fuck is Killer Mike? We're going to give you a little bit of information. We're going to tell you who Killer Mike is, man. But let's start with the first question, man, which is the main question. Do you feel the Grammy committee got this one right?
Absolutely. It's about time. It's definitely about time. I guess we'll probably dig into this a little bit later in the conversation, but I was looking at the other nominees for the categories that Killer Mike won in, and it would have been a sweep to me too, to be honest. If I had a vote, yeah. Now, I will say this. I have not heard Gunna's album. So
it's not bad.
And I kept hearing it wasn't bad. I think y'all were saying it too, that it wasn't bad.
Not bad.
I just never got around to it. Have not heard Gunna's album. The other songs and performances, I kind of flipped through and listened to, and honestly, they weren't touching anything on the songs that Killer Mike won for. Now, Scientists and Engineers wasn't my favorite song on the Killer Mike album.
And they won that one, but they won for song performance.
It won twice. That one won twice, I think.
Okay.
For rap song of the year and performance, the way that it was listed.
Okay.
So, what in the rap song? It wasn't even the best song on this album to me. But, you know, I guess you sprinkle a little Andre 3000 in there and you might get a little different story. But for the categories that it was in, for me, being 40 plus, I said it very early on that this album was good. I don't see anything that would have been beating it. But we'll talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, so with me, I feel they got it right. Now, I would have to kind of give the Grammys a little bit of grace now.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I wouldn't. But now I'm giving them grace because I do believe that they wholeheartedly want to keep it. They not keep it, but they want to make sure that they're being as fair as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have no earthly idea how the nominees happen, but I understand it's a vote. But we also know that, you know, just to give you a little bit of insight about the Grammys, the deadline is always going to be September of that year. So whatever comes out within that year of the album, they have to submit it. Nobody goes out there and says, oh, we want to nominate this album.
It has to be submitted.
It has to be submitted, right. Albeit the artists, because artists that are independent are going to submit it if they feel it's worth it. Two, the label will submit it,
mm-hmm,
if they feel it's worth it. That's the only way these albums. So a lot of times when you say, well, how come such and such wasn't nominated? Either two things. Either maybe it was submitted and they didn't think it cut the mustard.
Right.
Or they didn't submit it at all. Right. And you get a lot of times where they don't submit it. Mm-hmm. I want to say Drake.
I was just about to say
Drake. There's been a past time where Drake would not submit a specific album. And I'm sure he's not the only one. But that's the only one I can think of.
Right.
As of recent. So just to give you a little bit of that takeaway, because a lot of times you'll see people on social media say, well, how come they didn't put such and such, such and such? If it came out after September, it's not making that cycle for the show that comes out in February.
Right.
Pretty of the next year.
Right.
So just to give you a little bit of information of that. So with that being said, I feel they got it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel they are doing a great job with making sure that a diverse group of albums is being put out there. Hip-hop is growing. Hip-hop, we are growing up with hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when hip-hop started, either we was in our preteens, mm-hmm, or elementary school.
Right.
So we grew up with it, and it has changed heavily, you know, right, throughout the years. And sometimes they did not get their recognition. It's documented, you know, not being televised, you know, certain artists in hip hop,
right,
boycotted the Grammys and said they weren't going to go until they start televising it. So it is being it's being recorded.
Right.
But sometimes sometimes the categories are still not being represented on TV. But I personally don't give a shit. But hey, it is what it is.
Right.
You won. Congratulations to you. But I think they're doing a good job with that.
Yeah, they definitely got this one right. And then I don't know how fast you want to go with this, but just looking at some of the other nominees, we can kind of compare and contrast to see, you know, what where Killer Mike would have ended up either way. Now, when I looked, and you know, you can stop me if I'm getting ahead, but it, when I looked, everybody was predicting Gunna's album to win. From all accounts of what I actually read,
No, you're right. I mean, if you're going on, if you going off of historic, historically, you would think Gunna would win, but also you would think Travis Scott Utopia would win.
Right.
We're gonna get into that, but yes, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. So. Rap Song of the Year, very interesting. There's some things that I heard, and again, I'm not involved in this at all. I don't have a vote, anything, but if we're talking maybe song popularity, there may have been, you know, some runoffs in there. And, you know, if you're talking about performance, it might have been some different things in there too. So you want to jump into that? You ready to jump into that?
Go ahead, man. Take it away.
So... Rap Album of the Year, it was four nominees, including Killer Mike. Utopia, Gun is a Gift and a Curse, and Nas is Magic 2. So to me, if I'm looking at that, and again, I don't know what criteria they use. If I'm looking at that as a complete body of work, Killer Mike's album was a better body of work overall to me for Rap Album of the Year.
Let's stop there. You brought up a good point. If you could list three to four, let's go with three. Let's go with three. If you had three categories that would decide what would get your vote, what would be your three categories to select, to select it for album of the year?
So if it's tough because I'd be doing it as a I wouldn't I don't know if I'd call myself a casual listener. I guess I am, but
you're not a casual listener. All right, so I'm gonna help you because I get what you're saying. So. I actually had to find it, but I did find it. So, hey, just a trick, podcast trick. I found it. So, grading the album. So, we're going to grade the album.
Okay.
Right? So, we're going to grade the album off of concept, lyrics, sequencing, body of work, and features, if applicable.
Okay. So, this is the real grading thing from the Grammys, or is this?
No, I made that. I mean, that's just my, but it sounds like a good.
It does.
I made that up, but I was thinking, but I was saying to myself, when I'm having these arguments with people, I don't want to call them arguments because I don't argue no more, especially when it comes to music, debates.
Right.
So when I'm having a debate on why I pick something, these are the things that I'm looking at.
Right.
And I feel if I'm, and it's just my personal opinion, I feel if I'm looking at that, I truly feel that whoever's doing the voting should be looking at this into some capacity.
Right.
So.
Right. And also real quick, before you go any further. I know it's a committee wide vote, right? So, but I feel like I also feel like it should be genre specific. So if you,
I totally agree, but in, for what I'm hearing, it's not that yet, and I think it's not that yet because enough people have not. Oh, so that's another thing. The ones that are voting on the committee is not a committee that's selected. These artists can buy into the committee.
Now that I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
They have. So if you are an artist. Maybe not a buy, but they have a way of gaining access.
Right.
Out case of point. If you listen to the Joe Budden podcast, they have two guys up there that were in, that either is still currently in music or not in music. Joe Budden and Parks. Parks got a vote.
Mm-hmm.
He said that. He has a vote. Joe Budden could have a vote if he wanted to, but he's just not doing it.
Right.
So if you're in the music industry as an artist, I think you have a vote, and I think it goes a little bit outside of music too, depending on what type of. I think radio people have a vote, so they don't never let us into that process, but I do know that part.
Right. Yeah.
But we just got hip to that a few years ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So basically we're graded. So
your categories are sequence. What was the first one?
Lyrics.
Let's start from the beginning. Lyrics. Okay. So. Rap Album of the Year, Travis Scott, Gunna, Nas. Where would you rank those albums? For me.
Try to take your age out of it, too. Try.
I mean, lyrically, and I only listened to Magic 2 probably once or twice because he did so many of them albums, so many of those.
Yeah, it was a it was a series.
So, I listened to Killer Mike. I know 100 times easy. Lyrically, it would probably be between Nas and Killer Mike. I mean, for me, if you're talking lyrics and content, things of that nature, is content a separate category that you have, or is that under the lyrics umbrella?
I think you put content on the body of work.
Okay. So it would be Nas or Killer Mike, one or two?
I agree. I mean, I know I said take your age out of it, but I mean, if you're thinking about out of the four of them.
Right.
Travis, to me, is not a lyrical rapper.
Mm-mm.
Gunna
would probably be third from what I've
heard. Yeah, Gunna would definitely be third. I would say Gunna is not. He's definitely not top tier. He's average, lyrically.
Mm-hmm.
But Nas is Nas. And for Killer Mike, Killer Mike has shown his lyrical prowess over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I stated before,
mm-hmm.
we heard him on The Whole World. You know what I'm saying? So,
And Poppin' Tags.
And Papa Taz, those are probably those are two songs that truly stand out as far as lyrical content.
And I think that's how, obviously, that's how he got on Jay's radar.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said in countless interviews, which he has been going on, I don't know if you and I said this, but part of winning the Grammy, I think, is campaigning for your own record. Did we have that conversation? Or maybe I had that conversation with somebody else.
We didn't, but that is one thing that he did do. Killer Mike.
Killer Mike was everywhere.
Before this album came out, Killer Mike definitely stated that, but we hear this all the time. You know, a lot of times, these are the quotes that you hear rappers say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is my best work.
Right.
You only get one time to write your best album, which is usually your first album.
Right.
I'm confident that, but you don't really never hear them say, or someone was like, oh, it's a classic.
Right.
But you never hear them campaign and say, no, I think they should win an album of the year.
Right.
Killer Mike went on record before the album even dropped
that's
true. He feels that this album is rap album of the year.
Did he go on Joe before
the
album came out? Okay, so that's where I heard it first then.
He went out probably like a week or two before it came out.
Okay.
But he was also on, he went on, you know, Breakfast Club. He went on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he made his rounds, and he pretty much stated it the whole time. And he was right, you know. We didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to expect, but I also am a Killer Mike fan.
Right.
So regardless, I was going to listen anyway. But once I got into it, and another thing about this album, so I guess to kind of go into body of work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put both together. Body of work and sequence. That's all No ID. No ID is highly touted producer and executive producer, and he's always requested because of this.
Right.
One thing he is great at is sequencing, bringing the best out of artists. And it may not even be him just stating, oh, I'm going to produce this song.
Right.
He knows how to put it together and make it sound better, make it sound great.
Right.
So, you know, so sequencing will come into that. Killer Mike takes care of the lyrics part.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he took care of the features part, but sequencing and making it sound great, that's
No ID.
That's No ID. Yeah. And if you listen throughout the whole album, Killer Mike had different producers on different songs, you know, but it all sounded cohesively together.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very well put together album.
From beginning to end. So great in the album, like I said, it won Rap Album of the Year, but if I'm going off of lyrical content, giving an A because Killer Mike rapped his ass off.
Yeah.
Not only did he rap his ass off, the other ones that featured rapped their ass off too, and they fit the song. Depending on whatever feature you want to look at.
And every feature was
made sense.
Yeah, it was a perfect feature. Like the song that you played at the beginning, I think the title is Down by Law.
Mm-hmm.
Who else are you putting on that song to fill in them gaps with CeeLo? Nobody. You can't.
I mean, I can't even think of nobody. I mean, I can't think of nobody.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and we can talk about, I guess if you want to go into favorite songs on the album, we can kind of touch on that after the grading too, which I guess we'll go into the body of work convo. But yeah, this album was perfect beginning to end. I do have a couple potential skips on here. I listed my favorite songs. I did not necessarily list the skips, but the deluxe had some different gems on it, which I've listened. I've primarily been listening to the original album all the way through. The deluxe had some additional songs on it, which were very good. But yeah, but if you're talking, that what was that category? Was it lyrics?
Yeah,
yeah. That's a yeah. It's a. It's a.
That's an A to me.
It's a. Gotta be. Because Killer Mike is known for rapping his ass off. And he said that.
Can't even take that from him.
He said that in every interview. He was like, I rap niggas under the table. Like, under. And he does. He
and
does
lot,
do that.
And a lot of his peers say that you don't really want to go against Killer Mike because right. he's going to. He don't care if you're Jay-Z or Nas.
Right.
Hell. Or Andre 3000, for that matter. Or right. Big Boy. So he's going to. He again. For the fact that he had the best verse mm-hmm. on the whole world and mm-hmm. arguably the best verse on Pop and Taz mm-hmm. says a lot. You know, it says a lot about how people respect him. You know, so.
Who was on Pop and Taz? Jay, Big Boy, and Killer Mike?
Twista and Sleepy Brown.
And Sleepy Brown sung the hook, yeah.
Sleepy Brown sung the hook.
Yeah, Mike had the Twista. Best verse.
And yeah. for what Killer Mike said they pushed his verse. They said, what did they say? They said they pushed his verse back, meaning he was supposed to, however the order was,
right.
think he was first.
Yeah, you can't. He that verse would.
Yeah, they said he said that they. He said about it. He said from what he heard and what officially came out, they moved him. So clearly they moved him because they want his verse as long as fuck.
Right.
And then Big Boy came in. Big Boy had a pretty, you know, like I said, stop. It made perfect sense.
I don't even that song Killer Mike's verse on that song was so good. I don't even remember Jay-Z's verse for real. I don't remember Jay-Z's verse for real. Now that I think about it, but I also have not heard that song in a very long time either.
That's true. So I mean, you get those guys like that, like again, like those guys like, and I'm trying to find it while we talking. You know what I'm saying? Just to. But like I said, I also know where his verse is just it ain't like where it need to be.
Right. Right. But, so and while you're looking, what's that next category, E? That next category that you were saying that we graded on?
It was like I said, lyrics then sequencing.
Okay, so we touched on sequencing.
Mm-hmm.
No ID obviously is a genius for that. You know, if you listen to that 444 album, which, you know, is definitely one of my favorites. And if you think about you know, Common's albums back in the day, you know, prior to that one that everybody hated. What was the name of that album?
That's Twista. He's like, what?
What was that Common album that nobody liked?
Electric Circus. Yeah. God, I hate that motherfucker.
Oh, and I don't even know if he was with No ID there, but everybody hated that album. But so if you're talking, so we got sequencing. What's next after sequencing? What you got next?
Body of Work.
So, I guess that might fall under possibly the sequencing piece for real, but or in addition to that, but as far as it being put together the best. Yeah, he rapping his ass. Yeah.
Go ahead. Now, what were you saying?
What was I saying? Oh, so the way that the album was put together, as far, well, you said Body of Work. So the way that album was put together from, you know, the little interludes to the stories to Rico Wade kind of jumping in the middle of those songs,
mm-hmm.
there wasn't, and again, I have not heard Gunna's album. I don't know if he touched on any of that, but I've heard Nas. I've heard Travis Scott. And again, you know, Killer Mike, but that it was just a perfect segue into each song. You know, when Rico was kind of touching on some of those talking points in those interludes. So, just cohesively, just a phenomenal project. You know, from start to finish. And I know we don't. I agree with you. I don't like using classic loosely. And I do not use it loosely, but and I don't even know if I'm comfortable calling it a classic yet.
I'm not comfortable calling it a classic yet because I think, for me, again, we went over this definition a million times with whomever, but to me, a classic is when time has been served. And
it ain't even been a year yet.
And it doesn't, it hasn't aged yet. Meaning, it's timeless music. That's how I gauge a classic.
I definitely feel like it will age well.
Oh, it definitely will age well.
I feel like it'll age well. We'll see. And I think being that hip hop is so flooded right now, and the different pockets of hip hop that we listen to, I don't know if we'll be listening to it as much. Maybe in the next 12 months or the next 18 months, as much as we
I think that's just due to
so much stuff coming out.
Too much comes out. It's not like we digest music differently now,
right?
And we absorb it differently now because there is no going to the store getting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in your phone, so you can listen to it at any given time you want to. Unlike when back in the day, in order for us to go to another track or another artist. We have to physically remove the CD and take
it
out and put it in, or you got a CD changer.
Right.
So it's either one, you know, it's either one of those. So that's the thing. Now, I'm gonna keep it completely funky with you. If you're looking at Nas, Travis Scott, Gunna, and Killer Mike, I'm going to say I heard a little bit of Utopia, and I heard Gunna. For those two albums, it was a bunch of songs. So there is no cohesiveness. It's just song after song after song after song.
Right.
So that doesn't vibe well with me.
Right.
But I can be very objective and state this album is not bad, but I'm listening to it from a standpoint of I'm compartmentalizing each track versus Killer Mike, I'm compartmentalizing a full album, a full body of work. Now with Nas and the King's Disease, that also was tracks. So it wasn't like that. It wasn't a
comedy. What was Magic that got nominated? You just talking about Nas in general, or the?
Well, I'm just talking about Nas in general. But as far as that song, it was Magic 3, right?
It was Magic 2.
Okay. So whichever one that is like okay, but it's a bunch of tracks,
right?
You know, and you heard the difference between Magic and King's Disease, of course.
Right.
But it was a bunch of tracks, but again, Nas is a legend. He's afforded to do that.
Right.
He's afforded to do that if he so chooses.
Right.
But, and also, he also did six projects with Hit-Boy. So, no telling how many songs they did in that period of time, and they found ways to put whatever to whatever album. So, when you're listening to all those, Killer Mike, bar none, hands down, it's him. So it's deserving. Why do you think No ID brings the best out of artists?
That is a great question because so I'm gonna answer your question first and then I'm gonna kind of drift off a little bit. So that's a great question. You know, I think from the production standpoint, you know, in his proximity to Kanye, which we all adored early Kanye as this soulful producer or what have you, you know, No ID, I think, picks the best beats for his particular artist. I love 444, you know, mainly because I'm a sample guy. I love samples, and there were a lot of familiar samples on that album, and for the songs that I wasn't familiar with, I went back and listened to what he picked. And it was just, they were phenomenal songs. I listened to Vic Mensa. He had done a joint or two for Vic Mensa and shot some visuals for it. And I'm listening to the song and I'm like, yo, Vic is reaching another plane on this
Vic,
song.
Vic is nice.
Yeah, yeah. But
and you can listen to his music and you could tell.
Right.
You could tell he shifted from, because to me, Vic Mensa had two shifts. He had the first shift to me where he was kind of like a backpacker a little bit. And then he went into the stage where he was like a little dark and rebellious, which he kind of talks about as to why the space he was in at that point.
Right.
Anxiety and a little bit of depression and things like that. So his music reflected that. Mm-hmm. Now it seems like he said it. He's sober.
Right.
He's sober and
conscious.
A little bit more conscious with what he's talking about and how he wants to, I guess, you know, live the next phase of his life.
Right.
And
right.
it's reflecting in his music. So I think even though he comes off conscious, he's fucking spitting.
Yeah, he's spitting. That, and I do not know the name of that song, and I'm sure we'll probably.
We'll
find it. But he was, the beat that No ID did for him on this one particular song, and I'm sure he's probably produced more. That shit was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, if we're looking at No ID, like, you know, I've always said that Primo will make you hit a different gear too.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of like that, where, you know, if you get a beat from No ID, you're gonna have to step it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably what it is, that level of respect. Even though he's not talked about enough, in my opinion, like the Primos and the Pete's, and, you know,
not in casual circles. No. But I think the reason why he's not is because nowadays he's more so of an executive producer. So when somebody calls him, they're calling him to, hey, I need you to help me put this shit together.
Right, right.
But so, unlike a Primo or Just Blaze or somebody.
We're just making a beat and we bounce.
We're just making a beat and going on about our business.
Right.
So.
Right, right. Yeah, I think he probably does both of those things better than most. You know, and again, I keep going back to 444, but I think that album was probably Jay's most introspective to me.
Of course.
You know, and with No ID doing that whole album, you know, I definitely feel like, you know, the sequencing, like we've been talking about, which is something I really didn't think about, but the sample and beat selection actually laid a bed for Jay's story.
It definitely did. With that. And I think also, cause I want to say No ID did 444. He did Blueprint 3. Did he have a hand in American Gangster? No, that was Sean. That was Puffy. That was Puffy, JD. I don't think No ID was anywhere on that. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I could be wrong. But I know Blueprint 3 and Blueprint 4. And, you know, with Blueprint 3 was totally different from Blueprint 2 and Blueprint 1.
Right.
So I think, like I said, I think that's what No ID is good at. I think he's good at sitting with artists and saying, what do you want? What are you looking for? And I think they lay out their story for him. And I think once they lay out their story for him, he does his best to try to craft a great masterpiece in what you already have and what he could bring to the table.
Right.
Unlike other people. And like I said, you can honestly hear it in music. You could tell when somebody's just getting in and making some damn songs and leaving it at that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So just to kind of circle everything around and bring it full circle with Killer Mike, he has a story. He's talking about his grandmother. He's talking about his wife. He's talking about his kids. He's talking about his environment.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about, you know, talking about things that, you know, that resonates with him.
Right.
And then on top of that, he's also going to, you know what I'm saying, he's going to do his thing, but at the same time, he's always going to talk that shit.
Right.
You know? So
I just need someone to help me stay awake because evidently Killer Mike has gone to sleep.
Niggas talk to me about that woke ass shit.
Yeah.
Same niggas walking on some broke ass shit. You see your words ain't worth no money, I ain't spoke back, bitch. All of you niggas hang together on some broke back shit. Really, y'all niggas some hoes on some hoe ass shit. Look at me and take a picture on some Kodak shit. What you see is a Jeep.
We talking that shit too.
I can see it in your eyes like an envious bitch. I'm in rooms with politicians talking business and shit. Here you come with your opinion, ain't solicit that shit. Lola hit up DJ Paul, went to Memphis and shit. Pause. Rest in peace, the Lord, infamous bitch. I'm so underground, I move like Pimp C in this bitch. I bob and weave and bust on peace like Bun B in this bitch. I'm feeling like I'm Tony Draper, Ball and G in this bitch.
And this is where No ID comes in with
all that chatter that you chatter about my matter. Just
the beat switch. Although he didn't do the beat, I know to put a beat switch in a song, I just love beat switches in a song.
Right.
And this song had three beat switches. Well, really two. had this switch, and then it had a switch at the end.
I think, didn't scientists and engineers too? Had a couple, right?
Yep. So I just want to play that a little bit, man, because, like I said, Killer Mike does talk that shit, man. I figured that was a great segue. But, yeah, I think, you know, kind of answer that question. He's, man, No ID is just a magician of putting shit together. To me, like, I put No ID in the category of a Raphael Sadiq.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, okay.
A Raphael Sadiq. I'm gonna throw Adrian Young in there to an extent. Mm-hmm. Adrian Young. I know I'm missing a few others, man, but when I think of people like that, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, I think of how they listen to everything as a whole and not just separated.
Right.
Because if you like, man, I always say to myself, hey, man, if this person gets behind this fucking album, you know it's going to be a hit.
Right.
You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they doing one damn beat.
Right.
It's just how it sounds. So, yeah, with that. And I know we played a couple of tracks, man, but, like, what are some of the standout tracks to you for Michael? Matter of fact, if somebody asked you, I've never heard Killer Mike, I don't know what the hell he does, but I would love to hear this album. Give me Killer Mike's three songs on this album that you want me to listen to.
Shed Tears is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Erin Allen Kane singing her ass off on a couple of joints on this album. High and Holy. Mm-hmm. That's Ty Dolla $ign, I believe. Slummer, Jagged Edge. And I like the remix to Run better than the original.
Man, how many songs you just get? Four or five?
That's four.
Four. What'd I say, four?
I think you said three.
No, but that's a good pick. For me, I'm going to tell them to start with Down by Law. Because I think Down by Law is the perfect.
Phenomenal intro.
It's the perfect intro. I'm going to go Down by Law. I'm going to go Down by Law, Run. Run and Talking That Shit. I think all three of those songs are different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if you give them a three pack of that, they'll say, I need more.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion.
I am a huge fan of, I guess this might be being a preacher's kid or whatever. Shed Tears is a phenomenal display of using you know, choir, choral applications. You got your soloist with Erin Allen Kane, and then somebody rapping over something soulful.
Mm-hmm.
Slummer, I like a lot because of, again, with the sample vocals, Jagged Edge kind of coming in and filling in those gaps. And, you know, just some of the choir elements and things of that nature in that song.
Nothing was mailed in.
No, I don't think he said that.
I think there was no. And when I say mailed in, there was no transferring of verses.
Right.
Where you wasn't available. Now I will say probably one person.
Who?
Probably Andre. In certain parts. I don't think they.
Well, no, because remember he said. That I think they were in New York, him and Cuz Lightyear.
Mm-hmm.
They were wherever Andre was, that's where they were.
And then he recorded it.
And then he said, I got some, you know, he listened to the album and he was like, I got something I want to add. So
he already had kind of pre-recorded it, told him to listen to it.
Probably so. Probably so.
But Andre, he's afforded that.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get.
You ain't going to tell Andre 3000, though.
Nah, you ain't going to tell him nothing on top of it. You probably know. Again, he probably asked him, but I don't think he asked him specifically for this album. He probably asked him on some other shit.
Right.
And he was like, oh, fuck that. I'm going to put this on his album. That's probably what happened.
And that cadence on Andre's verse, I was looking at it. If you look at it on, because you know Apple Music will pull up the lyrics. So I'm trying to read the lyrics and listen to Andre's verses at the same time. That's not something, you know how you can do mimic most rapper shit on karaoke. That's not anything you would have to, because it was so staccato and it was a bunch of words in a sentence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So. Very, very interesting. Very interesting flow on that particular song. So, real quick, E, I want to jump back to. I know we were talking about some of the different things the couple of other categories that they were in. So, some of the rap performance nominations. I have them out of order, but I have them all written down. The Hillbillies by Baby Keem and Kendrick. Mm-hmm. That was nominated for rap performance. Love Letter by Black Thought. Mm-hmm. Rich Flex by Drake and 21. And Players by Coi Leray. Rap performance. Okay. Now, I'm not the biggest Baby Keem fan. Have you heard that song?
I haven't heard a lot of Baby Keem. I like that single that he had with Kendrick.
So apparently they've done a couple because they have a song called Hillbillies. I wasn't familiar with it, so I had to listen to it. Mm-hmm. I went to the Grammys page and listened to it. It was pretty good, but again, if you're comparing that to, even though Scientists and Engineers wasn't my favorite song on the album, if you're comparing that song to that,
it's an acquired taste, but it fit the album.
Right.
Like, it was one of those tracks that
Definitely fit Killer Mike. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was an obscure, sure. it was I call it kind of like the obscure part of the album where, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to show what the fuck I do in right. the middle of everything going on. Like, I think Talking That Shit and Scientists and Engineers were the two songs where he's going to let you know,
right.
I could do some different shit.
Right, right.
And I could get in pocket with whoever. And Killer Mike has kind of alluded. Killer Mike alluded to it that he had a verse for that
Scientists and Engineers and tossed it.
And tossed it. Not because he didn't toss it because he felt that he got lit up by Stacks. Stacks came with a whole different cadence on that song.
Right.
And he wanted to match that and prove that he could match that.
Right.
So that's why he tossed it.
Right.
But it wasn't like, oh shit. Cause you hear some people, oh man, I scratched my verse because they were
right.
too tough.
Right. Right.
Nah, it wasn't that. He knows he could rock with Andre. Well, even though the last right. song he did with Andre was singing. But
what?
Whole World.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was singing and him and Big Boy were doing the rapping. Doing the rapping. But yeah, I got that.
Wait a minute. Dre didn't have a verse on Whole World?
No, he had a verse.
Okay, gotcha.
He wasn't rapping. He was doing that singy shit. Yeah,
but
bang. Da, da,
da, da, da, da. But I thought he had another part on that song.
Yeah, because, I don't think he did. Listen, y'all ain't gonna light me up if I'm wrong. But I haven't heard a song in so while, but I don't remember him having, because it was a three verse.
You're right about the sing song part. I do remember that.
But I think it was a three verse song, because it's like him, Andre started it off. Killer Mike came second, and then third came Andre. Came Big Boy. So I don't know where that's gonna be at.
Let me pull it up.
But
and while you're doing that, you gonna pull it up?
Yeah, I'll pull it up real quick
because you might be able to play it. So Love Letter by Black Thought was also a performance, and that was just a poem to hip hop. Basically, it was a good poem because it's Black Thought, but I don't see how that would have won rap performance. Because literally, it wasn't like he was rapping over a beat. It was literally a poem. Mm-hmm. But Black Thought is that dude, so.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Rap Song of the Year nominations, Attention by Doja Cat, Barbie World by Nicki Minaj, Just Wanna Rock by Uzi, and Rich Flex by Drake and 21.
Here we go. I promise I don't think that was a four, because this song 4 minutes long. I don't think that was a four.
It probably wouldn't have been.
Take a little trip, hater, pack up your mind. My bad, you was right.
I thought so. See what you find. I called a sucker down because he thought it could rhyme.
If his mama is a quarter daughter, must be a dime. I got him. Stand corrected. I don't remember that part.
Yeah, I was like, because Andre, toward the middle of that verse, he tends to get a little off, like a touch off beat.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, this shit getting on my nerves. Like, why?
Yeah, I forgot about that part. I guess because I'm so used to the first part and it's so catchy, I forgot that second part. And so, I apologize. I was fucking wrong.
Yeah, and Killer Mike's verse on that shit was.
Yeah. Like, they all three of them had something different.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Yeah. My bad. Hey, apologize. Play as fuck up. But, So let's get to the meat. Pause. To the meat of this. Of the who the fuck is Killer Mike, right? So let's talk about the youth. So we saw a lot of posts go up there with different streamers and stuff like that. The only one popular streamer that I'm aware of
is Cossinette.
Cossinette. Mm-hmm. 22 years old, real young.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy in the streaming, but you know, he clearly was a huge Travis Scott fan.
Mm-hmm.
In his brain, he felt Travis Scott should have won. But once he heard Killer Mike, he said, yo, who the fuck is Killer Mike?
Right.
That's hilarious, right. But right. Like, who the fuck is Killer Mike? But instead of, I think we're just in that age where they'll say, why would it be deserving? And I had to transfer what I thought about movies and Oscars.
Yes.
And TV
that's
shows.
That's a good parallel.
To that. Because when it comes to Oscars,
we don't know who them fucking movies are.
I don't know the half the movies that be playing. So, but guess what I do? I do go back and watch it.
Do you watch the movies or do you just read? Because
a lot. No, if it seems interesting to me.
If because it seems some of them be some bullshit.
Yeah, straight bullshit. But sometimes if it's interesting to me, I'll go back and watch it. But I also don't say why the fuck did this win over such and such. They clearly saw something that I didn't.
I definitely say it.
Yeah, but I mean, I know people say it. But I know in me, it's like, I guess I'm not like voicers with it. We're like, who the fuck is this? Like,
right.
But it, from Cosinat's standpoint, he's saying who the fuck is Killer Mike, but he's also saying who cares who the fuck Killer Mike is. He don't feel that it was better, but he had never heard it.
He had never heard it, right.
So at least with me, I at least give something a chance. Like, I don't care how fucking trash that shit is. I'll listen. Like, if it's popular, I will listen. And after I listened one time, and I think you and I had an argument about that, like, man, if I think it sucks, I'm not listening. But I guess my opinion is I can't speak on it if I haven't heard it. Now, if you don't want to listen, that's one thing. But if I am asked my opinion on it or you care to hear my opinion, then I have to do my due diligence and I have to listen. You know? So I think I'm just at the point where I like to be the guy that if you ask me, have I heard it, I can say, yes, I heard it.
Right.
And then you could ask me after that, what do you think? And I could say, right, that shit is trash.
Right.
Or I don't like it. But you can't force me. Like, there's nothing you can force me to say, go back and listen again. That's not going to happen with me. Because once I hear a little bit of it,
mm-hmm,
that is a determinant factor at times. And I'm not going to take that away from nobody. Sometimes that will be a determinant factor.
Right.
Especially if you're not big on them.
Right.
But if I'm big on a Jay-Z and I'm a huge Jay-Z fan, I mean, I'm biased too, so
mm-hmm,
I can't think he do no wrong.
Right.
But I think we all have an artist like that. You don't think they could do no wrong.
Right.
But if I hadn't heard the song and you asked me about it, and I'm going to listen to it.
Right.
Then I'm going to decide, okay, it's not one of my favorite songs or whatever, but, you know, it's a go.
That's how I feel about Gunna's album. I had all intentions of listening to it. I just never got around to it.
I mean, like I said, it's a dope album. But are you missing anything? No.
I do kind of want to, and Gunna wouldn't be somebody that I would listen to anyway, but the way people were raving about this album,
It was a dope album, but like I said, but I also feel it also came with the baggage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we all know what that baggage is, but right. If he did it, I mean, I can say he did it because it was pretty much guilty by association,
right?
With him. So, I mean, that's another thing because nobody thought that he would ever get back to this point.
To this point, right.
And technically, I guess in the touring world, he is back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But he probably still can't go certain places right now because of how people feel about him.
Right.
Do I feel that will change later on? I think that's contingent on how this trial goes. But
if 6ix9ine could tour, 6ix9ine could go anywhere, gonna be all right.
There's a difference between him and 6ix9ine, though. 6ix9ine was a snitch.
Right.
And
right,
I understand
right.
that people want to call Gunna a snitch, but technically he didn't snitch.
He didn't snitch, right.
He told them what they already knew. You know what I'm saying? So it's some type of what, Albert Law, some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a whole different conversation for a different day. We're not going down that road. But why do you think there's such a disconnect with the older demographic, albeit us and them?
Because hip hop has grown and transformed so much since 93, 94. You know what I mean? Like it's taken on a lot of different forms. You know, Post Malone was hip hop at one point. I don't think Post Malone would have been looked at as
not as motherfucker on the Super Bowl doing "Oh the Beautiful." Man, fuck out of here.
Post Malone was considered hip hop at one point. You know, you have a lot of different pockets. You know, Triple X, rest in peace, was a hip hop artist. You got Pops, you know what I mean? So it's just so many different tracks to hip hop and different outlets versus 93, 94, it was boom bap or nothing, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Until you got to
Outkast,
like the Roots or like a Freestyle Fellowship or mm-hmm. something like yeah. that. But so I think for those of us that are stuck in the 90s, because admittedly I am. However, I have, you know, I've branched out a good bit, but, you know, for those of us that tend to be stuck and tend to be in that specific space, I think it would be beneficial for us to kind of, you know, just to kind of view, you know, where the younger generation is coming from. Also, it's a lot more money based now. I mean, people are admittedly going into it just for a check and they, you know, you never really hear from them again.
I saw a post today where this other dude, he pretty much doubled down on what he was saying about Killer Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, I got a lot of heat for me saying, again, I ain't never listened to Killer Mike. Who the fuck cares about Killer mm-hmm. Mike or whatever? He said so. He went back and he listened.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly thought he was going to say, I was wrong.
Right.
Or how I feel. He said, no, I still feel the same way.
Right.
He said,
right.
I still feel the same way. But what he did do is he gave his honest opinion.
Right.
Like he didn't he broke it down with his viewpoint from mm-hmm. it. And his viewpoint was, I am in the younger generation. I am in a generation where y'all talk about lyrical. Yes, the album was lyrical. I don't give a fuck about lyrics.
Right.
I care about, is this album or this song or is this album a vibe?
Right.
As soon as he said that, I was like, he said, I don't care about flow. I don't care about none of that. Does this hit?
Right.
Wherever I'm at in that moment, does it hit? And anytime when I think about that, I think of, and I know y'all can't see me, but I think about the kids that be in there just like, it just right. be bobbing their head a certain right, way, right? right? Because they got this kind of like a hyphy to an extent. And it's like, it's how they listen to it. So if you listen to a lot of that shit, they're not saying nothing.
Right.
They're not saying nothing, and they just saying a whole.
You sound like the old
dude. I do. I do. But it's the.
It's true.
It's the truth. They're not saying any. They're not saying shit.
Right.
You know, they're saying a couple of words. You know, I promise.
Just Wanna Rock is an example. What the hell did Uzi say in that song?
Nothing, which is crazy. Like you said, it goes back to what you said before, the money. Because from what I heard, Uzi was a rapper's rapper. Like
oh,
at
yeah,
one
I
point,
hear that. Mm-hmm.
That he was a rapper's rapper at one point. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think all of that went out the door.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that went out the door when he was on Ebro, and Ebro asked him to freestyle.
Oh, yeah, I remember
And he
that.
Said, I'm not freestyling. He said, who you think I am?
Right.
And Ebro said, I thought he was a rapper. He said, I'm a rock star. And that motherfucker won't lie. He's a rock star.
He's like, I ain't rapping over them old ass beats.
Old ass beats.
And it was a primo beat. I was mad as hell too. I was like, "This little."
Oh, I was fucking pissed. You know what I'm saying? But it goes to that point where it's like, you know, when you talk to these young kids, man. But again, I don't even call this me being in a specific space because I pod. But
right.
I am a music head. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? I just like I said, there's gonna come a point in time. Let y'all know now that there's going to be a specific division on this podcast
for sure. Where
I'm opening up a little bit more when it comes to the music that I like to listen to and giving artists an opportunity.
Right.
And what I mean by that is not saying that I'm giving an opportunity for others to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna leave it at that. I'm not gonna say much. I'm not gonna say much past that. But the time is coming, and, right. and I think that's where I stand at. And depending on who I'm talking to,
right,
it's a tug of war because it's like, oh, you caping? No, I'm not caping. I'm a very objective listener. I'm trying to listen to this album or listen to this song and trying to figure out where it fits. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because at some point, it's like, why the fuck? But again, the kid, I think this kid fully explained it.
Right.
And that left me with this conclusion.
Right.
He's honest.
Right.
And I think, but what he said, that's what I hear from other people.
Right.
You know, hear from other people around that age group where they're like, right. Yo, I don't give a fuck about that shit, man. I want to smoke and drink. And
right.
They ain't thinking about, you know, when we was growing up, it was about the vibe of the music. Like, you know when you with your homeboys and you know you about to break down this verse. You know when, you know y'all about to break down this Triumph verse.
Right.
You know you going to spit this Jay-Z. You know you going to spit Wu-Tang, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest. Yeah. You know you going to spit that, right? But you also know the rap songs where it's like, yo, you know when DMS, come on, it's so good, it's all right. You know you in the corner, you know, at a gym jam trying to dance on some booty.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So it's, or some Luke or something like that. So the music that we grew up with, we knew what we were getting. We knew if the DJ dropped this, we knew what type of vibe it would be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We knew when a girl's going to hit the dance floor. We knew, hey, when them horns drop on, back that ass up, we know what the game plan is. You know what I'm saying? With these kids today, and shit, certain shit drop, man, you know, you just know they just going to get in the circle.
Right.
And they just going to sit there. You know, and it ain't just about the young generation. I mean, I guess Future, you could say it's for the young generation. Mm-hmm. All those Futures, our damn age. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He close to our age, but I'm not a big Future guy.
Right.
But I can't. But I will admit, if you hear March Madness, that motherfucker's gonna go up. That's just one of the songs that's just gonna up, man. So, let's just summarize what we talked about Killer Mike. Cause we under an hour.
it don't feel like it,
but we under an hour, man. And our goal, we said, man, we gonna try to wrap this conversation up. In an hour, we around 57 minute mark. So just to kind of, you know, wrap this up, man. If you have not listened to Killer Mike's album, Michael, do yourself a favor and go listen to it. What I would advise you to do is listen and listen with intent. Meaning, let that be. I got pillars. Okay, I'm listening in my headset, wherever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm at home and I'm listening to it.
And then you take it to the car.
And I take it to the fucking car, you know? And cars really should have been number one, but those are my pillars. And I think a lot of people that are into music like me, we talk about the car test.
Mm-hmm.
The car test is what really drives this home.
And I think car test is number one for me, too.
I think, like I said, when I mean by the car test, like, if you could get a whole album in, or you could get, because albums now, you know, they're going to run anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour.
Right.
Hell, even shorter than that, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes the people's attention span is too short. But if you were going on a road trip, play it. Play the whole thing. Y'all ain't got no problem playing Beyonce all damn day. You ain't got no problem playing, you know, like, you have no problem doing that. So if you go and listen to the album, and that will break down why it was. Don't listen to us. We're giving you reasons why, but listen, and you'll know why.
There was not a bet. And I listened to a lot of underground stuff.
Fuck it. I say, you trying to say that you pussyfooting around it. There was not a better album than Killer Mike.
It wasn't a better rap album.
There was not a better rap album than Killer Mike for that fiscal year. I don't give a shit what none of y'all say. This album is deserving. It was no cheat. Nobody got robbed. It was well deserved. From a brother who has been in the game for 20 plus years, and he found the right album, and it worked. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's been reported that he's the oldest rapper to win Rap Album of the Year at 48. He poured a lot of, and I don't know if Grammy voters think about this shit, but the album was completely financed out of his pocket.
$500K,
they said. Yeah, 500.
It was an independent album.
And every feature was perfect. Every beat was perfect. Every interlude that Rico Wade touched on was perfect because it was a perfect segue into the next song. There was not, and I said it, I probably called it a little bit too early. I said I haven't heard a better rap album than this year.
Nah, I called it right when I thought about it. Like I said, once I heard it and I gave it about five or six runs, I said, yo, I don't think anything is beat. Because you got to think about it, it came out in June. So right there, we already had 6 months.
Right.
Of the year to say.
And we hadn't talked about a rap album before that.
No, we haven't. It was slow. Everybody said that. Hell, like I said, I listen to music podcasts. Well, Joe will say it's not a music podcast, right. But he said it. Right. You know, like leading up to that moment, like, yo, music is kind of hip hop. Like the releases are kind of slow. You get a lot of Lucy's and stuff like that, but you get a full body of work.
Right.
And he came and knocked that motherfucker out of the park, man. Right. I mean, there's no other way to put that. To add more to it, like I said, him and I both went to the concert. Mm-hmm. It was intimate, and I love intimate shows. Mm-hmm. Like, his show was intimate, but he put something in it. You know, he had a DJ. He had background singers, which was a choir.
Right.
He gave them they shine. Mm-hmm. They fit where he was, and it was all white.
Yes.
He did a phenomenal job.
Not and the choir, the clothes.
The clothes, I'm sorry. The clothes. But if you go, if you ask anybody who went to the show in a different city, they would tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. I had some homeboys go see it in another city, and they did. And they were like, yo, you were right.
Right.
This was a dope-ass show. So
New York, I saw was real good because I think he brought some other people out.
Yeah. So, like, anything like that, man. So, listen, man. Shout out to Mike, man. Mike did his damn thing, man. I'm never going to stop listening to Killer Mike, man. But will he get another one? I don't know. But if he doesn't, he got the one for the right one.
Well, he say he got a series. He say it's going to be a Michael. He say he got a Michael 2 he already working on. Michael 3, you know, that's already done. So
We'll see, man. We'll see, man. But any parting words, man?
If you have not listened to this album, go listen to the album. And listen to the deluxe because there are some additional songs on there that are jamming. And listen to I only found the Damian Marley Run remix on YouTube, so check that out too.
Yeah, man, go listen. Like I said, if I listen to the whole album, but if you haven't heard anything, like I said, listen to Down by Law, Run, and Talking Shit, and I think that will give you enough to say, all right, I want to hear a little bit more.
Listen to those after you do the complete full run of the album.
Yeah, exactly. And on top of that, man, if you a casual,
tell somebody.
If you a casual listener, then sit this one out. Yeah. Like, let's be clear, let's sit this one out, man. Because it's like we casual, y'all just gonna bullshit around it anyway, y'all man. Y'all gonna pussyfoot. Y'all gonna listen to
go back and listen to
16 Carriages or some shit like that or Texas Hold'em. But anyway, you wanna tell everybody where they can find you with me?
I am Lou the Q on IG, LEWTHEQUE. I really don't be talking about nothing on there. You can DM me if you got something to say about it. We can talk music. Or you can catch me at Off the Wall or Biggie Park, like somewhere. And, you know, I'm always down to chop up music and make you look bad. But, I'm in these Charlotte streets, man.
No doubt, man. E-Dub, man, get right to the point. E-Dub, man, thanking you again for tuning in for the Who Got Next podcast. You can catch me on my IG, which is WhoGotNext_CLT. And my email is WhoGotNextCLT@gmail.com. You know, out of any conversations that I have, man, just trying to find guests. But again, I'm also taking feedback, man. I don't care if it's bad. I don't care if it's good feedback. Or you just kind of iffy about it, man. I'm always willing to listen, man, just to make my show a dope show. And if y'all out there doing some dope shit, trust me, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, we're going to talk about what you got going on next. All right? Peace.